Good morning to each one. Greet you in Christ's name. Blessing to be here this morning. I've certainly been challenged and blessed by the things that we have looked at. Appreciated the devotional this morning early on and Sunday school on trust. Certainly something that I need to grow in, the trust in my Heavenly Father, to allow Him to have full control of my life. That is certainly my desire. Thank you, Brian, for introducing the message so well. I enjoyed that devotional and time of sharing there. And it's a very good introduction, goes along very well with what I'd like to think about this morning. I want to continue thinking about our mothers, maybe in a little different angle. But I too would like to say Happy Mother's Day. And to each of you mothers, God bless you in a special way for the role that you fill. And you'll see a little bit more why I say that as we continue on. How many of you children this morning told your mother Happy Mother's Day? All right. Well, a lot of you did. Very good. If you didn't do that, I give you that for an assignment, to tell your mother Happy Mother's Day this afternoon or whenever. Maybe we could do it now, but I think we'll let you do that later today. Most of us, when we consider our mothers, it is with tender feelings that we think about the one that nurtured us and cared for us and loved us. And certainly as I listened to the things that were shared, it certainly struck me with tenderness, thoughts about my mother. I feel like God blessed me with a wonderful mother, and her influence in my life has certainly been a blessing, and I am thankful very much for my mother. Aaron shared his memory, and Brian said he experienced some of that as well. I remember very well the same kind of thing happening. We spoke an unkind word about someone, said some words that we shouldn't have. Out came the bar of soap, and the end of it ended up in our mouth. And to the degree that she felt the offense was to how long that soap stayed there. And that left an impression upon me as a young child. And we think about those things today in a different way probably than what we did back then. But certainly, I'm sure it was good for us. I'm going to begin with reading a poem, a Mother's Day poem. It says this: "She did not paint nor write nor rhyme her footprints on the sands of time, as some distinguished women do. Just simple things of life she knew, like tucking little folks in bed or soothing someone's aching head. She was no singer, neither blessed with any special loveliness to win applause and passing fame. No headlines ever blessed her name. But oh, she was a shining light to all her loved ones day and night. Her home, her kingdom, she its queen. Her reign was faithful, honest, clean, impartial, loving, just to each. And everyone she sought to teach. Her name, of course, there is no other in all the world so sweet, just Mother." And I think that is the way God would have it to be. A godly woman will point her children to Christ, not only by words, but by example. A mother has a very high and noble calling. And today across our nation, mothers are being lifted up, are being honored on this special day. Special attention is being given to mothers. Special things are being done for them and will be done for them. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's very good and in its place. As I thought about this, there are a lot of things that went through my mind in this world of affluence and everything that goes with it. I believe that the labor of a mother is one of the most forgotten things. Seems that way. A mother's labor probably goes the most unnoticed by any position in life. Now, when I talk about mothers this morning, I'm talking about mothers in the home. That's the way I'd like to think about it. A mother who is there taking her God-given responsibility seriously. A mother who follows God's plan for life, for her life. You can turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 to begin with here. Second Timothy chapter 1. I'd like to read verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. This verse brings out the thought of the influence of a godly mother. And that's what I'd like to think about this morning. The title that I've given the message is The Influence of a Godly Mother. And I just want this message to be an encouragement and a challenge to each one. And really, when you stop and think about it, there's principles here, there's things that apply more than just to our mothers. But the point of the message is bringing out specifically about the influence of a godly mother. That will be our focus. But there's something here for all of us, I'm sure. We probably all have heard the statement, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Not sure what you think about that statement. We may feel the statement is stretched a bit and maybe not really true. Maybe it isn't. But yet, I believe that it may be more true than what we realize. And as we go through this, you'll see why I say that, why I feel that way. But especially as we think of the influence of the one who rocks that cradle. Think for a moment with me. Allow your mind to go back. How many statements, how many things about myself or in my life actually originate from my mother? You can think about that in your own life. I'm not sure what the answer is to that question necessarily. Maybe you will have an answer to that later on. But the influence of a godly mother. Here in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, we have Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says this, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," then what does he say? "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Here we have not only the influence of a mother, but also a grandmother. The influence of that grandmother carried over to her daughter, which then carried to the grandson. As I looked at this verse, the question comes to my mind, what was the key to this of passing on that faith from generation to generation? Well, I believe the answer to that question is found in two words in this verse. Two words. What are they? Unfeigned faith. If I were to pick out the two most important words in what I have to say in the message, those would probably be it. Unfeigned faith. What is unfeigned faith? I believe it's simply a sincere faith, a genuine faith, something that is real. And you know, this morning, if something is going to be passed from one generation to the next, it's going to have to be real. It's going to have to be genuine, something to it. It's going to need to be solid. It's going to need to be truth. What do you think was Timothy's view of his grandmother? I don't know. I don't really say necessarily. Where did it begin? Did Timothy even look back to his grandmother? I don't know just how close a relationship he had with his grandmother, but it seems to me that as I read verse 5 here, it suggests that Timothy was able, or that he did see the faith of his grandmother being expressed. He saw a grandmother's faith that had something to it. I believe it was more than just words. I believe it was more than just a practice or a way of life. It was more than just the way they always did it. A whole lot more than that. It was sincere. It was genuine. And certainly as it was that, it did become a practice and a way of life. But it went beyond that. I believe Timothy's faith began with his mother, but I believe it was backed by the grandmother's faith as well. Do you think that as Timothy faced life, as he faced the normal things that boys his age did, whether it was 8, 10, 12, 14, however old he was, do you think he knew how his grandmother felt about things? I believe Timothy not only knew how his grandmother felt about things, I believe he knew exactly where she stood. I believe that. It was not a questionable thing to him. And not only his grandmother, but he also knew where his mother stood. I believe it comes back to the thought that Timothy saw it springing from a genuine love to God. That's where it came from. Let's turn now to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Thinking about the genuineness, I think about his mother's life, what it's like when it's filled with the things of the Lord. Psalm 128. I'll read all six of these verses here. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. The wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Now, this does not exactly deal with mother, and yet it does. But as I thought about the person who is blessed by God and who is in the Lord's will, God places a great blessing upon such a person. Looking at verse 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. I want to take this a bit deeper. I'm not sure if it's just referring to food here or not, but I doubt it. We eat the labor of our hands. We as parents are teaching our children, and we will eat that labor. We will eat the labor, as it were, of our hands. Afterward, we will eat the fruit of our labor, in other words. And to me, that is a very serious thought. We will reap the fruit of all our hard work. We will reap the fruit of our labor. In verse 3, I get a beautiful picture of a family that is gathered together in a Christian home. You see the beauty of young lives that are growing in a Christian atmosphere. How does it say? Like young olive plants round about thy table. Verse 3, that is. Then in verse 5, the thought, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. It seems to me that it would be one of the greatest blessings there is for parents that are getting old and gray to experience the blessings of Zion and see the good of Jerusalem. Or we could say these young lives who have grown up and matured and have come to Christ. Not only that, but they went on to live like we see Timothy here, where they were builders in the kingdom of God. What a blessing. Builders in Jerusalem. Going back to Timothy's mother, Eunice, now, and looking more at mothers in general. First, I want to look at Timothy's mother. Timothy witnessed an unpretended, is that a word? We'll say it is. An unpretended faith in his mother. You know, parents, let's face it. Our young children, at a very young age, know how our faith is, how my faith is. We know that. We understand that in any measure. They know whether the things that are being asked of them and the things that are being brought out in our lives are from a heart of love for God, a love to God. They know if it's springing out from you as a mother or us as fathers as well, from a heart of love to God, or if it's just something that you're simply doing, they can soon tell. And Timothy witnessed this in his mother. He witnessed this real faith in his mother. And you think about Timothy's home. I thought about that. I'm not sure 100% all of the accuracy of this, but Timothy was born into a home of a mixed marriage. His father was a Greek, which I believe means that he was an unbeliever. His mother was a Jew who was a believer. And the thing that stands out to me here was her faith. Even in the situation that she found herself in, it was real. It was genuine. And what did that do to Timothy? I believe it left a huge impression, a huge influence on him. It showed him what was really real. What does that tell you about faith? Well, we cannot pass faith as such onto our children. But you know what? We can guide them in it. We can guide them into it. Faith in God comes through an experience. It does. We can pass on to our children a God consciousness that is exactly what took place in Timothy's life. And as Timothy observed his mother and grandmother, he became conscious of the presence of God in their hearts. That is what brought him through. What is it that is going to bring our families through? What is it that brings our children through to God? I'm sure that us as parents have faced those questions already. You know, there's a statement I hear sometimes that I struggle with. I will share some of the statement, and I would maybe welcome your thoughts if you have some later. But the statement is this. All young people at some time in their life come to the point that everything that they have been taught in their home all of a sudden comes under question. I've thought about that for some time, and I guess I would challenge that statement with a question. I'm going to use an extreme example. Think about this. Do you think that the disciples of Jesus, after they knew him, question his relationship with the Father? I guess that I've come to somewhat of a conclusion on this. I'm afraid that it goes right back to where we began. It is because we as parents are teaching our children so many things, do's, don'ts, and have-tos, but they're not seeing in us the real, genuine faith of God. And so finally the time comes for that child when he begins to realize that he has been taught a lot of things, but he does not have an example of a solid faith in God. I'm going to leave that with you. But I will say, I believe that the things, if you please, the do's and the don'ts and have-tos are very important in our teaching program. They certainly are. But my point in this is, but unless they are seeing a genuine faith in God, it probably will not do a lot of good. I want to go on now in a more personal way and try to bring down to real life this morning the influence of a mother with a child. And I was just, as I pondered this, I was struck again with this, but thinking about the life of a mother. The life of a mother who has given birth to a child or children, or by the way of adoption, have children in their home. Their mother. I thought about the words in John 16, verse 21, the words of Jesus. John 16, 21 says, "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." There you see the joy of a mother. Another verse in Proverbs 4, verse 3. You don't need to turn to that. I have it jotted down here. But it says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." Here we see the thought of the specialness of that child. Think about a newborn baby. A newborn baby is just, well, it is completely helpless and totally dependent on mother. Now, I'm using mother here pretty general, and I'm not going to try to include father. Maybe we're all, he should be. But I think about the tenderness of a mother with a newborn baby. Think about it. She smiles upon it. All else kind of steps back, or all else gives to that baby. The baby gets sick. Mother stops all her other work. Everything else gives for that. There is a huge amount of specialness placed on this new baby. Mother's coax, trying to get that first smile. Now, think about this. What all is taking place in this baby as all of this is happening? I'm sure we don't understand all that, but in the more recent years, I have thought about that more, of what all is formed in a young child that we don't even really think about. And those in that very infant stage, very important years, things are happening there. I can't totally explain it, but there's a bond that is taking place that will not easily be broken. There is a bond that is being formed in this child's mind, and the child doesn't even realize it. Of course not. Again, we can't totally explain it, but that child has those little realizations that start to come in their childish way. That child feels special, very special. There is a forming of the child's earliest feelings and emotions about their mother. Then we have that child grow up. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Then it's months and months. We have mothers singing to these children. From the time they are born, they sing to them. These children hear that and they begin to learn their first songs. Mother shows a lot of joy when the child first makes sounds or coos. That first smile is a wonderful thing. The child rolls over for the first time. It's a wonderful thing. The child begins to crawl. Mother guides those unsteady hands as they're crawling. Maybe mother guides those unsteady hands to their mouth or wherever else. Mother helps them form their first words. Mother helps them take their first steps. Do you get the picture of that bond that is being formed between this child and his or her mother? Can you somewhat think of what is going through this infant's mind? Well, actually, there's probably not a lot going through its mind at a real young age, but things that are taking place, things that are being formed. They feel they are the most special person. There is a bond being formed. When that child is sick, when fever racks his body, mother is there. Her heart aches along with her arms and back. She gives up nights of sleep and lives through days of weariness. And the baby doesn't thank her either. Yet mother will do anything to bear the pain. That is how a mother is. There is a mother's heart, a true mother's heart. Through all of this, that bond is continuing to form. As I said, a mother teaches those first songs and she helps with those first prayers, and something is taking place as that mind is developing and maturing. Mother is guiding that mind to something higher. She is making this child aware that there is a God. You see where we're going here? The influence of a mother. Mother prepares meal after meal, meal after meal. That's not a small thing. That is not a small thing, and what it's doing in the mind of that child. The bond continues to grow. The first day of school comes. There are discipline issues. Loving discipline is put in place by the same people who that child thinks is so special. Why? That is the way God designed it. And it is a part of the bond that is there. That is the way God designed it, and I believe it brings about good results. The will is broken in a proper manner. Then we go on in years, and mother has taught how to love. She has taught how to share. I'm talking now of that child getting up in the teenage years. I believe at this time there is now a growing realization of what is guiding mother and father, their life. There is a realization of what is taking place. There is a realization whether money is the guiding factor, whether it's prestige, humbleness, sacrifice, whether there's really a Holy Spirit in father and mother. They soon begin to realize who father and mother listen to when there is something that comes up that is difficult. When the child sees father and mother distressed, does he see them fall on their knees before God? I believe that does something to that child. Again, it is becoming very clear what is really guiding father and mother. And I call it influence. influence on that child. Those things are letting a huge influence. Would they be able to say that mother had a genuine faith? Would they be able to say that grandmother had a genuine faith? I can't shake it because I know God is real. He was real in their lives. That comes back to the thought about everything being in question. I guess that's where my struggle rises out of. Are there too many of our children growing up not knowing what God is real in mother and father's life? Timothy, because of his genuine faith, or no, Timothy, because of the genuine faith of his mother and grandmother, found it real in his life as well. I believe that had a huge influence on that. I'd like to think now for a bit, when we were children. You mothers with children who still have a mother present in your life, and even if your mother is no longer living, have you ever tried in your mind, take out the many things that your mother did for you and think of where you could be today? Let's turn to Proverbs 22. Familiar verse, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This morning, you can try as hard as you want, but I don't believe you can fully depart from your mother's training in your life. I don't believe that. It's going to be there. It is more than likely how we received our perception of God. It is more than likely how we get our perception, how we got our perception of other people, of the church. We are affected by the bond that was established by our mother. Very much so. Certainly now, we cannot use that as an excuse to do wrong or that we can't make any changes. Not saying that at all. We are responsible for ourselves. But the fact remains that my mother's influence does have an effect on me. It continues to, for as long as I've been out away from my mother, it still has an effect on my life. I had to wonder this morning how many would feel ashamed in their lives if they would honestly compare where they are now from what mother taught them. I have a question. I want to ask the question, can we depart from the godliness that we have been taught? Is it possible? Is this verse still real, that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it? I believe that this is still a Bible principle that still stands today. I've said it already in this message, but I'll say it again because I feel it in my own life. But the more your children see a real, genuine faith, the harder it's going to be for them to lay it aside. And the opposite is also true. The more watered down your life is, the more not genuine your life is, the easier it will be for our children to lay aside their faith as well. In closing, let's turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, I'd like to begin reading in verse 10 and read to verse 27. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth forth She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Stop reading there. We have quite a list of characteristics here of a godly mother. This morning, as your children observe your life, as they observe these characteristics in you as mothers, it will have an effect on their lives that will continue on with them through life. It will. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Mothers, take this verse as an encouragement. God will give you strength and honor as you fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to you. God bless you this morning in a special way as you continue to do that. Let's kneel together in prayer. Kind Father, we pause in your presence. We thank you for the blessings of this day. Thank you for the things that we've been able to think about, ponder your word, and in our lives, Lord, I just thank you for our mothers that you have blessed us with. Thank you for the influence that they are in our lives. Lord, I just pray a special blessing upon each mother that is here. Pray a special blessing upon each of our mothers, those that we still are able to interact with. Just bless them in a special way. Lord, as we go through life, we desire to be faithful to you. The responsibilities that you give to each of us, may we recognize anew again the influence, the power of influence, and particularly this morning as it relates to our families. Just again, we pray a special blessing. Pray a special blessing on each family, all the children that are here, each family unit. Just bless each one in a special way. Again, we desire to be faithful to you, drawn to a closer walk with you, more fit for your kingdom. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.